Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It's a pleasure to speak with you once again. My name is Sean Coleman, and we are excited to come with you to you with another great edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And folks, we are now 2 weeks away. It's December 9th. We are officially 2 weeks away from the start of the Grizzlies 2020-2021 season. As I've said a few times already, with this Saturday being the first preseason game, we are now in store for hopefully six, seven, maybe even more months of basketball going forward. Forgive me for not knowing the exact amount of days. But at the end of the day, one thing that I did learn today from the media sessions is that the Grizzlies will actually be playing 16 games in the first 30 days of the season starting December 23rd. So what that means is that we are 2 weeks away from basically having Grizzlies basketball every other day. And it's been something that we've been waiting a while for. We got a little bit of we had the ability to enjoy it at a, you know, unorthodox time during the summer, during, you know, late July and early August, but it's going to be nice to be back in the regular swing of things, hopefully not interrupted by COVID once the season starts. So with that in mind, with the season right around the corner, I'm using this week to kind of look at the Grizzlies roster from different perspectives. Yesterday, we did positional hierarchy, talking about at each position where kind of the names stand, and is there structured hierarchy or does there need to be customization? For some places, structure work. For others, it's good to have customized options that you can mix and match for each game. Well, in today's episode, we're going to look at three general areas from last year where the Grizzlies did struggle a bit that are needed areas of improvement for the Grizzlies to really emerge as playoff contenders, especially early in the season without Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. We, of course, want to remind you of the show. You can find it at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone as well. I've gotten a lot of feedback here over the past several weeks, with kind comments, and I cannot appreciate the support over the past few months as we've gone through this offseason leading up to another exciting Grizzlies season. There's a reason why I do this. It's because I enjoy and really cherish the opportunity to share passions that I have with others that share the same passions. The Grizzlies, the NBA sports, you know, allowing the opportunity that allows for me to share my perspectives with others that I know care about Grizzlies basketball, all of those things make this opportunity wonderful every time that I get to do it. So let's get right into areas of improvement that are going to be critical for the Grizzlies to show improvement in when it comes to a potential playoff run. And we're going to start with a pretty obvious one. It's the one that has been kind of the obvious need for the Grizzlies forever, and that is the ability to shoot the three. Now, the Grizzlies certainly had great success last year in terms of their what they did versus what was expected of them. And they obviously were in the playoff run for a good part of the season. Now, obviously, they had the chance to make the playoffs right up until the very end. But at the end of the day, the Grizzlies were still, I believe, 34-39 last year. They did have a losing record at the end of the day. Were much better than many anticipated, but still in the grand scheme of things, probably overall a below average roster when you compare it to the rest of the NBA. Well, their success was driven by them playing to their strengths, their ability to produce in the paint, their ability to finish at the rim, their ability to pass. All those things certainly allowed last year's offense to be much more consistent and perform at a much higher level than it had in years past. As a matter of fact, it's hard to argue against last year being the most productive offense in the history of the Grizzlies franchise. But the thing about it is this, is that as productive as the offense was, and as right as the Grizzlies' approach was in playing to their strengths of passing, playing in the paint, finishing at the rim, they still were 25th in 3 points made per game, 23rd in 3 points made per game, and they were 25th in 3-pointers made per game and 23rd and 3-point field goal percentage overall. They were bottom third in the league in their ability to shoot from beyond the arc, which obviously is becoming a bigger and bigger part of today's NBA game. It's not just the emphasis is there, it's literally the primary focus of today's game. Taylor Jenkins mentioned himself, media members for Memphis asked him yesterday, what is he specifically focusing on with Ja when it comes to helping his shot profile and decision making earlier in the shot clock? Well, Taylor Jenkins hit the nail on the head. He said that he wants him to get better at making earlier decisions on whether to drive to the basket for a high percentage two or shoot the three. At the end of the day, the mid-range game is not a heavy emphasis in Taylor Jenkins' offense. Yes, Dylan Brooks, it is a big part of his game, and it helps to have a representation at that third level of scoring besides beyond the three and at the rim. But with Taylor Jenkins, it's simple. It's a trend that you're seeing in the NBA now. It's either get as high a percentage look at a two as you can, or go after the three. And that makes sense. It's a big philosophy. You've seen it work for several playoff teams that are consistently in the playoffs, and Taylor Jenkins, with that philosophy in mind, he knows that the Grizzlies are good at getting to the rim, and he knows that they're good at producing in the paint. Now he wants to become more reliable from three. Well, the thing about it is this, is that until the Grizzlies get a truly difference-making option to shoot from three, it's going to be hard for them to get in the above-average range when it comes to NBA teams from shooting from three, because right now they just don't have a lot of naturally reliable three-point shooters. I mean, last year they were last in the league in pull-up shooting percentage from three. They just don't have a lot of shot creators from distance. That's not necessarily a negative thing. It's just that their roster is still, obviously, it has a significant ways to go in terms of its development to be a sustainable winner and true contender. And one of the big areas where it still has to develop is the individual ability to shoot from distance. But while it still is certainly going to be a work in progress, the Grizzlies have done a good job of addressing ways to improve the shooting from distance with what they have. For instance, they were able to get Desmond Bane. They were able to get Killian Tilly. They were able to get Jontay Porter. And you also saw significant progress from other shooting options last year in Tyus Jones and in the bubble, Grayson Allen. So the best way for you to counteract the fact that you may not have one or two true difference-making shooters from distance is to have depth of players with the potential to become reliable shooters in certain situations. And that specifically for the Grizzlies is catch-and-shoot options. Because ideally, now with the depth that the Grizzlies have got in terms of their shooting options, the goal is to have multiple shooting options on the outside that the Grizzlies can take advantage of, whether it be catch and shoot opportunities, whether it be off the pick and roll, pick and pop options, whatever it may be, through their schemes and playing off their strengths of producing in the paint and at the rim, they want their passing ability to allow for them to have multiple options to go out to with passes to shoot the three. But they've got the depth now when it comes to shooting in Bane and Allen and Tilly and others to be able to really take advantage of that, whether no matter what rotation is in the game. It's not just when the starters are out on the court, the bench unit. You can have several different rotations now to where you can consistently have more than one reliable shooter on the court in the right situation. But the other part that the Grizzlies, I think, really did a good job of is they focused on secondary playmaking options as well. Bane is a good secondary playmaker when he's not scoring. Obviously, Xavier Tillman was the best front court passer in this draft. That's the thing about the Grizzlies. They focused on talents in the draft despite not having a first-round pick to start out with. They landed talents in the draft whose main skill set, their main strengths, focus on helping the team become better shooting. They arguably got the best shooter in the draft in Desmond Bane, the best shooting big man in the draft in Killian Tilly, and the best passing big man in the draft in Xavier Tillman. You combine Tillman now with Jontay Porter in terms of passing, and you've also got Porter and Tilly in terms of their shooting. All five positions have, relevant potential to really be shooters for Taylor Jenkins during the game at a lot of different times during the game. And that's his goal. His goal is to have as many shooting options as possible. His ideal goal is to have shooting options 1 through 5 from distance that he can rely on in the right situation to know when to take a high percentage 3-point shot. So yes, I don't think that the Grizzlies are going to, this year take a huge jump to where they're an above average 3-point shooting team in the league. But I do respect the fact that the Grizzlies have done a good job identifying quality depth with good shooting potential to where they can have multiple options at all time, no matter what rotation they have in the game, and that's especially true when Jaren and Justice come back. So even if it's just incremental improvement, I think that that's something that at least allows for the Grizzlies' offense to be more consistent. If they can continue to show production in the paint and at the rim, but through that, they can feed off of that and get open and high percentage look from threes more often, and that can become a consistent part of the offense, whether it be out of the corners, it be above the break, whatever it may be. If they could play off their production in the paint and use their passing to set up opportunities on the outside, I think the Grizzlies can at least become more consistent at that, and that will lead to an incremental improvement that may be able to get a couple more wins this year, which could be all the difference between the Grizzlies being a lottery lock and them having a true playoff chance. So we know that the Grizzlies have done what they needed to do to really improve when it comes to shooting the three, but without Justice and Jaren, they've got two critical components to their approach in defending the three, another clear area of improvement. Coming up, I'm going to talk about how the Grizzlies specifically are working on ways to continue getting better at defending the three, which may be of even more importance than shooting the three on the offensive end. Life can be stressful even under normal circumstances. 2020 has challenged even the most difficult times of life, certainly leading to unprecedented circumstances. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes. That's Headspace. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace can really help you feel better. Feeling overwhelmed? Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. And the great thing about it is that Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. It makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to be happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal being offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA for your first month's free trial today. Coming up on Locked On Grizzlies, we'll continue looking at the roster tomorrow, but it will be all about individual rankings. First, we will dive deep into ESPN's release of its top 100 players when it comes to the NBA this year. You know, what Grizzlies made the list, and what does it mean in terms of how the league overall feels about the current about the present and future, you know, impact of the Grizzlies core. We'll also discuss, you know, we all know that Ja, Jaren, Justice, and Jonas are going to play such a big role for the Grizzlies this season. But besides them, the four other players that I think are most important to the Grizzlies' chances at a playoff run this season, all that coming up on tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So we talked in the first segment about the Grizzlies, you know, first area of needed improvement, and that, of course, is shooting the three. Now, that's obviously been, you know, a need for this Grizzlies team forever, but it feels like that when it comes to both the front office's approach, and it feels like when it comes to Taylor Jenkins and his coaching staff's preferences, that certainly is not going to be something that's a clear need very soon in the near future. As a matter of fact, it likely will become a strength in time. But this Grizzlies team also, despite their need to be able to shoot the three better, they also have certainly got to defend the three better as well, especially with the fact that not only are they going to miss Jaren Jackson's shooting ability, he was their most productive shooter last year, but they also are going to be without, to start the season, both Justice and Jaren, who really are two critical components as potential options that really could limit the defense on the outside. And that's the thing about it when it comes to the Grizzlies. They don't have, you know, within their core, they don't have a lot of wing-stopping potential on the outside. That's nothing against Memphis. It's just the fact that right now where they are with their roster, that's not a strength of the roster as a whole. That's one of the reasons why I feel they were so adamant about adding Justice Winslow at last year's trade deadline, because they were focused on what he could bring as a perimeter defender. And in time, the hope is that he certainly emerges as being a clear difference maker there, which could make him a true part of this future going forward. But last season, when it came to the Grizzlies defending the three, they were, just like in shooting the three, they were in the bottom third of the league when it came to defending the three-point shot. They were 23rd in the league in terms of 3 points allowed per game, allowing nearly 13 three-pointers per game, and they also ranked 24th in three-point field goal percentage. So the Grizzlies were between 23rd and 25th in the league last year when it came to shooting the three and when it came to defending the three. And the thing about it is this, is that if the Grizzlies are going to be without their most productive three-point shooter in Jaren Jackson Jr., things are already going to be hard enough as is for them not to be at a big disadvantage when it comes to other teams making threes. But if the Grizzlies cannot find a way to be able to really, you know, find improvement in their ability to defend the perimeter at the start of the season, that's the equation that really could lead them to not being able to take advantage of a manageable part of the schedule. If the Grizzlies wind up getting outshot when it comes to threes by five or more three-pointers per game, it's going to be hard to consistently win. And if they find themselves after the first 14 games before, you know, including the MLK game, if they find themselves at 4-10 or 5-9, even with Justice and Jaren coming back, that's going to be a hard hole to climb out of as the schedule gets tougher. Now, there are some encouraging signs that the Grizzlies, you know, got a bit better as the season went along, especially when the Grizzlies were playing, you know, in my opinion, close to their best basketball last year towards the end of January and right before the All-Star break. Now, they were playing one of the easier parts of their schedule, but they were also at full strength. And Taylor Jenkins was able to utilize different rotations from the depth that he had available when they were healthy to really make an impact. And I think that that's what's going to have to be done again. Some names that really stand out. Obviously, the main one for perimeter defense is DeAnthony Melton. The thing about DeAnthony Melton is this, is that he is a great source of added value when it comes to the perimeter defense. But a lot of that is from his ability to make plays, create steals, alter passes, get defensive rebounds, so on and so forth. A weak part of his game is, not necessarily a weakness, but a part of his game where he may not be as strong, is his one-on-one defense. And in general, that is where the Grizzlies' focus is right now when it comes to their training camp. I actually asked both Dylan Brooks, who I think is another critical component to the Grizzlies' perimeter defense this year, especially if he's going to be guarding bigger shooting options at the three position in place of Justice. I asked both Dylan Brooks and Coach Jenkins, what have they been working on specifically to try to improve their perimeter defense, an area of struggle at times last season? Well, they both mentioned one-on-one defenses. Another big thing that we'll talk about in a minute that they discussed they wanted to limit was certainly fouls. But the Grizzlies were strong in the paint. That worked out to their advantage. Their size certainly made a difference, and also, obviously, the defensive upside of players such as Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr., Jonas Valanciunas' rim protection, and now you throw Xavier Tillman in the mix, they certainly have the ability to guard the paint. But it's being smart with their approach to the perimeter, for instance, not, you know, staying disciplined when it comes to trying to block shots, putting a body on players who are trying to get open looks, really being a good one-on-one in terms of staying in front of the player to try to get as much of a distraction in place for the shot. That seems to be a smart approach for the Grizzlies to really improve upon, because in their efforts to keep the paint, you know, very hard to produce in for other teams, they're going to have to rely on their players at times being on an island and holding their own when it comes to one-on-one defense. Now, there is very solid potential with some of the Grizzlies players that they could utilize for our team to really make the overall production of our five on the court at any time better. The sum of the whole is better than the sum of the individual parts is what I'm getting at. And that comes through communication and chemistry. The continuity that this roster has from last year certainly is an added benefit this year in their second season in Taylor Jenkins' system. But also with that, individual players like DeAnthony Melton, the intelligence of Kyle Anderson, and him being able to both make an impact both on the perimeter and in the paint down low on the post. The overall ability to move for a big man of Brandon Clark, kind of offering that rover ability, him and Jaren Jackson Jr. kind of being able to be that rover for 35 to 40 minutes a night potentially with the addition of Tillman, that really benefits the Grizzlies as far as the impact that they can make both inside and out, altering shots and passes. So the Grizzlies do have some individual pieces that they certainly can work with. But to get consistency, everybody like they did last year, they have to buy into the philosophy, which it seems they certainly have, and at times they're going to have to find the stops individually, or at the very least, if they don't get the stop that they desire, make life as hard as possible or make the shot or pass as hard as possible to make on the specific opponent that they're defending. So again, just like shooting the three, the Grizzlies don't have one or two clear options that could just make such a big impact on defense that it overcomes the liabilities and inefficiencies of everybody else. The Grizzlies have their flaws when it comes to some of their players' ability on defense. There are work in progress, and just like shooting the three, I don't think they're going to become an above-average defensive team over the night. But a big thing for the Grizzlies is if they can build a lead or if they can gain a lead late, it's getting the stops that they need, or at least limiting the fouls, limiting the opportunities that the opposition has to have high percentage looks at the basket. If the Grizzlies can really do that, do a better job of limiting high percentage looks, especially from distance, for their opposition, I think that that's going to be a great way for them to really find benefit in the improvement of their defense. And that starts with the chemistry and that and the communication from a team defensive standpoint that you can see several players really contributing to in time. So we know that if the Grizzlies need to improve shooting the three, and they also need to improve defending the three, that is things in terms of the Grizzlies themselves that could really benefit them when it comes to their impact on possession. Coming up, I'm going to talk about how the Grizzlies also need to do a better job of limiting the advantageous possessions of their opponents through turnovers and fouls. Do you ever feel like you run into a wall during the day? Not a literal wall in terms of an actual physical structure, but a figurative wall that gets in your way of being able to complete a big project, make a lifestyle change, just get through your workday with the energy that you need to be productive. Well, to help you get through that wall, I may have a solution, and that's Built Go. Built Go is the best 1.5-ounce energy gel on the market. It's like a monster drink with a third of the caffeine, or a 5-hour energy drink with better results without the same crash feeling. And the great thing about it is it combines great taste with plenty of beneficial elements such as energy gel and collagen protein that not only help you remain energized through your day but also remain productive. And the great thing is if you go to BuiltGo.com, not only do you get to choose from the flavors that are there, but if you use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. That's right, 20% off your next order of BuiltGo at BuiltGo.com. If you want to make it through your day, energize yourself to get through it, and that's with BuiltGo. Let's go. The wait is almost over. The 2020-2021 NBA season is almost here, and the Locked On NBA podcast will get you ready with a special week of shows beginning December 14th. Get previews of every team, division by division, from all 30 of our Locked On local experts, including us here at Locked On Grizzlies, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Projecting the Screen. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you find your podcasts. But when it comes to areas of improvement for the Grizzlies, obviously their ability, you know, to shoot from three and also defend the three, that's just naturally something that is going to take time. And as they continue to get talents in place, I mean, we've had Justice Winslow on the roster for nearly a year and have not been able to see him play a game in the Grizzlies uniform. It's going to take time for our roster to continue to evolve to really see a significant difference in our production improving both from three and defending the three. But one area that I really do think is very, very important, this may be the most important area for the Grizzlies where they need immediate improvement at the start of the season if they truly want to make a playoff run this year, is limiting the advantageous possessions of the opponent. And what do I mean by that? I mean limiting turnovers, I mean fouls, and I mean, you know, their opponent's ability to shoot free throws. And for the Grizzlies, if they don't necessarily do as good of a job limiting the advantageous possessions of their opponents, at least improving their own. But specifically what I mean by that is this. Last year, the Grizzlies were 18th in terms of fouls committed per game. But they were between 23rd and 25th in the league in turnovers committed per game, in opponents' free throw looks per game, and in their own free throw looks per game. The Grizzlies were in the bottom six. They allowed the sixth most free throws attempts per game to their opponent, but had the sixth fewest free throw attempts per game themselves. That is not a good advantage. That is certainly an area of concern for the Grizzlies if they're allowing their opponents to obviously get free looks at the basket at a significantly better clip than they're getting their own looks at the basket. So really looking at lowering the amount of fouls per game and also improving their ability to handle the ball. Now, that also goes with what has been talked about from Taylor Jenkins and several of the players in these meetings media sessions, specifically with Dylan Brooks. Last year, the Grizzlies had the first and second players in the league when it came to fouls committed in Dylan Brooks and Jaren Jackson Jr. We all know Jaren Jackson Jr. struggles when it comes to fouls. But Dylan Brooks, his aggressiveness is certainly something that you want to promote in terms of his ability to play. But the discipline of making sure that he does not commit fouls on a consistent basis would be a huge development for the Grizzlies as time goes on. But that's the big thing about Memphis. What they're doing is that they are giving their opponents extra looks at the basket, and it's negating from the advantage that the Grizzlies' pace of play is giving them. If the Grizzlies are averaging 15 turnovers a game, plus they also are allowing for their opponents to shoot nearly 25 free throws per game, well, that's the ability for their opponents to potentially get an extra 30 or more points per game just from mistakes by the Grizzlies. So limiting mistakes, improving the discipline, especially when it comes to defending and also taking care of the ball, would be a big development for the Grizzlies. Now, obviously, the decision-making plays a huge part in that as well. As we talked about in the bubble, Dylan Brooks especially, when it comes to his decision-making, not forcing bad shots, that in itself is a turnover. It leads to negative possessions. That is another way that the Grizzlies could limit the advantageous possessions of their opponents. So just overall, the turnovers committed by the Grizzlies, the fouls committed by the Grizzlies, and the negative shots, the tough shots, the bad shots, the bad shot selection, all three of those areas would be highly critical at the start of the season for the Grizzlies to improve upon. Hopefully, after an offseason where the Grizzlies had plenty of proof last year during certain stretches, especially in the bubble, where they clearly saw games get away from them because of these reasons, they have plenty of proof that if they were to change their approach in these certain areas, they certainly could see improvement. But in terms of their ability of taking care of the ball, their ability to lower the frequency at which they commit fouls, and also better shot selection, I really think that those are areas where the Grizzlies certainly need improvement, and overall, it will really allow for them to lower the amount of times that their opponents have high percentage looks at the basket. That's going to be very huge for the Grizzlies, especially without Jaren Jackson Jr.'s shooting ability on offense and Justice Winslow's defensive ability on defense. They cannot allow for their opponents to gain a true advantage based off of errors, that they cannot allow for their opponents to gain a significant increase in high percentage looks at the baskets due to the Grizzlies' errors. They've got to limit those errors, and that, to me, is probably the biggest area where the Grizzlies could improve that really could allow for them to take advantage of a manageable first part of the schedule, hopefully emerge at the MLK game against the Suns with a winning record and have both Jaren and Justice back available. If the Grizzlies can limit their mistakes in terms of turnovers, fouls, and bad shot selection, I really think that that will be what you could look back. If we come into March and April and it's the All-Star break and the Grizzlies are clearly in playoff contention, I think that it's not going to be any surprise to anyone that a big reason for that is the Grizzlies' improvement in those three areas: turnovers, fouls, and bad shot selection. If they can limit those occurrences from happening, I think that that'll be a huge boost to Memphis. So overall, the Grizzlies' perimeter play, shooting the basketball and defending the three, as well as their ability to limit their errors when it comes to turnovers, fouls, and bad shot selections, I think that those are very specific areas where the Grizzlies could certainly improve. For a few, in terms of the three-point production, both offensively and defensively, it's going to take time. That's going to take the roster evolving. It's going to take more talented pieces in those specific areas for the Grizzlies to truly improve. But when it comes to the errors, to things the Grizzlies can truly control with the roster that they have in place, that will certainly be a huge step forward and a needed step forward if this team expects to make the playoffs. The mentality is there. The intelligence is there. The effort will be there. All the ingredients are there for the Grizzlies to certainly improve on that ladder. In the latter area of limiting errors, if they can consistently do a better job of that, which continuity certainly will help, and familiarity with Taylor Jenkins' system will also help, if the Grizzlies can limit their errors, that certainly will be a big boost to their playoff chances. Of course, we want to thank you for the boost that you always give us by tuning in and listening to the podcast. If you are new to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, we can't thank you enough for the support. We ask that you tune in every day. We are going to be here offering detailed perspective and honest takes on the Grizzlies, looking forward to them getting off to a successful start of the season. Again, you can find the podcast at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone. My name's Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Join us tomorrow. We're going to talk about the ESPN 100 list, where the Grizzlies rank, as well as, besides Jonas, Justice, Jaren, and Ja, what other players really need to step up for the Grizzlies to truly emerge as playoff contenders. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.